to you their spirit and their life. Please hear me, brethren. These things are spirit communications. It is spirit unto spirit. And sincerely, I want to admonish you tonight that look past the frailty of the vessel standing before you and receive with meekness the engrafted work of God, the engrafted word of God that is able to save you. Are we ready for tonight?
Yes, sir.
In 60 seconds, just bow your head and pray. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. It's a prayer. It is not a special number. You are not listening to somebody finishing a song. Please pray that Lord, as your word comforts, let it be spirit unto spirit. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. May I not listen to mere words. May I have an encounter with the spirit of God. I receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save me. Let the word of God establish me tonight. I desire an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the word of God, an encounter with the spirit of God. Affect my life, breathe on me. I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life. Someone find life tonight in the name of Jesus. We have prayed.
Amen.
Amen and amen. By the mercies and grace of God, I will be sharing on the topic, the apostolic believer. Please write. You'll be blessed tonight in no small way. The apostolic believer. Open bracket. Invading the world systems. Close bracket. I am the apostolic believer. Invading the world system. And this is a continuation of our last month encounter, which was our anniversary. And I began to tell you how that you're coming here month in, month out. There is a model. There is a prototype of that which you should become over time. And this is it. The apostolic believer. Invading the world system. The thrust of tonight's teaching is to help you understand or see pictorially what you are becoming. A witness. The apostolic dimension of a believer. Please, are we together? Matthew chapter 16. We start the reading from verse 17 and 18. A familiar scripture in this place. Matthew chapter number 16. Problem comes from verse 14. And they said, some said that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our verse of emphasis, Jesus speaking, he said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this was Jesus asking them, who do men say that I am? And Jesus was surprised that even people who has been with him for 3.5 years could not articulate in single sentence who he was. As they were stammering and guessing, then by revelation, the Bible told us that because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, it has been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And he says, thou art Jesus, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art Peter, I will build my church. Not that I will build my church upon you as Peter, upon Peter as a person. No. He said, I will build my church upon the revelation that you have just received. And what was that revelation? Thou art Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, it is on this revelation that you have called about me, about my messianic mandate. He said, it is on this revelation that I will build my church. So the church is not founded or being built upon Peter as an individual, but upon the revelation of the divinity of Jesus. Please have it together. So Jesus said, thou art Peter, and on this I will build my church. The word build my church is where we want to expound on our teaching tonight. The word church here, the English word church here, the Greek word is ecclesia, like we all know, isn't it? So the Greek word for the church is ecclesia. And listen, this is not a religious word. No. It is over the time that has been corrupted into a religious word as we often know it today. But back in the days, ecclesia is a governmental word, not a religious word. If you are writing, please write this. And it means a called out assembly. Ecclesia means called out assembly. It also means summoned ones. That is called ones. The word ecclesia means a call out assembly, summoned ones. I wrote here a governing assembly. A governing assembly. That is citizens who are called out to decide, to legislate, and to enforce laws across the city or territories. A governing assembly. So from where we just read, when Jesus said, I will build my church, he was not meaning, the idea was not to build a church with cement and concrete like this. No. The idea was not to have people gathered every Sunday and do all sorts of religiosity. There is a place for that, to gather and to be taught the word of God like we are doing. But much more than that, the idea that Jesus was trying to communicate from that scripture was that, is that he said, I will build my church, that is, I will build a governmental people that will legislate the plans and purposes of God upon the earth. Please have it together. So Jesus' idea was to build a formidable force, a governmental people who will step out and legislate the plans and purposes of God across the surface of the earth. That is ecclesia. Let me illustrate this. Can I just have one person, my brother, please, can you just step forward? Somebody help me with this scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. I would love three people. First Peter chapter 3 verse 9. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. And another Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Just for us to catch the idea of what I'm trying to share here. So, look at my brother here. Please just stand here. Step down a bit. Down. All right. Like all of us, we all started somewhere. Nobody was born again. If you were born again, raise your hands up. All of us, we are seen as God found us somewhere. In my example, this guy, let's say he is in the world. Come, still a sinner that he is. Imagine whatever that you can't, or just a very moral brother but has not encountered Jesus, you know, he's still a candidate for hell. Come, Colossians, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19.
First Peter. Let's start with First Peter chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 9, I mean. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Look at this. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you. Listen. He said, someone called you. Called you out of darkness into what? Marvelous light. So this man, he was in the world. The Bible told us that something happened to him. He was called out of the world. That sounds like ecclesia. We say a called out assembly. So the Bible says he was what? Called out of the world into his marvelous light. Colossians 1. Did I say verse 13? Help me if you're there.
Who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
So he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So once upon a time, this young man was in the world in darkness, but the Bible said he was called out of the world. Where was he called to? He is now called into kingdom purpose. Called out of the world, called into kingdom purpose. Believers, hear this. You are not saved just to ride around. You are not saved for nothing. God does not brought you out of the kingdom of darkness just to freestyle your life. No, sir. There is an end. There is a purpose for your salvation. So the Bible made us to understand from that scripture how that, number one, he was called out of the world. Number two, he was called into kingdom purpose. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Hallelujah. So the last one says, go ye therefore. So let's see, demonstrate this again. Don't be silly. So, number one, he was all called out of the world. Not to freestyle his life, but he was called into kingdom purpose. It was not enough for God. He said, he sent him back into the world. Go ye into the world. To do what? To disciple nations. To influence and to legislate the counsel of God, to mentor nations. This is you that I've just demonstrated in these few minutes. If you understood this, you understand my message tonight. The apostolic believer invading the world system. That a believer is called out from the world, called into kingdom purpose, and sent back into the world to influence the world with the government of the Christ. Please celebrate my brother as you take a seat. The ecclesia. A governing assembly, a people called to influence, to decide, and to enforce laws across territories. Now, who is a believer? Because we're talking about the apostolic believer. Cool? I want to be as simple, as basic as I can, to the end that when you go out of this place, you know who you are and you know what is responsible, what is demanded of your life. Who is a believer? Very quickly. Number one, a believer is one who has heard the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing the word of God. This scripture has so blessed me a lot. Look at that scripture. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. You will have faith in whatever you hear. If you keep listening to me, to all this secular music, you will have faith in them. If you keep watching secular movies, you will have faith in it. If you keep feeding your soul on Facebook, you will have faith in Facebook. So faith comes by hearing. It is depending on what you are hearing. So in this context, it says, if you want to have the faith of God, you will hear the word of God. So a believer is one who has what? Heard the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Number two, is one who has believed Jesus Christ. Believer is one who has what? Believed in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 verse 16. Somebody will help me with Acts chapter 16 verse 30 and 31. Acts chapter 16 verse 30 and 31. A believer, we say, is one who has heard the gospel, number one. Number two is one who believes in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible speaking, he said, for God so loved the world that he said his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That if you believe in the person of Jesus, you believe in his substitutionary sacrifice, his death and burial on the cross, he said, you are a believer. So a believer is one who believes in Jesus. Acts chapter 16 verse 31. Please celebrate our pastor, Pastor Neil. Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming. What must I do to be saved? Like many of us, trapped in life, confused, we don't know our lives from our life. And we are saying, what can I do to be saved? This is our cry. The answer, sir, verse 16. Is it 31?
And they say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And thou shalt
be saved. And thy house. This is a word for somebody. You may be going through a situation and saying, how am I going to go out of this thing? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not only you, your household, your family will be saved. So who is a believer? Number one, one who has heard the gospel. Number two, one who believed in Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number three, who is a believer? A believer who has confessed him as Lord. The him there is Jesus. A believer who is one who has heard the gospel, is one who believed in Jesus Christ. A believer is one who has confessed Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10. A very big leader can help me. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth
the Lord Jesus
and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. Is that verse 10? Look at this. This is the formula for salvation. If you are born again, this is how you got born again. If you find anybody in heaven, this is the formula that got him to heaven. Let's get it, sir. Verse 10. Yes, sir. With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. So it gives us the formula. You first believe in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, equals to salvation. Is that? Any man who has not done this is not born again. Maybe he's born against. This is the equation for salvation. So maybe you are here in this meeting, and by the mercy and grace of God, the opportunity will be given to you to apply this equation to your life so as to live a life of meaning. So we said, a believer is one who has confessed Jesus as Lord. There are many believers in church who have not confessed him as Lord. That is not equal to salvation. That is not equal to eternity. You can spend decades in a bread factory. Will you become a bread? No, sir. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Number four, who is a believer? A believer is one who has received the life of. I love this. A believer is one who has received the life of God. John chapter 1, verse 13, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Somebody will help us.
The Bible says, "Well, as many as received him, that he says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor
them that believed, he gave them power to become sons of God. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that beloved him that begat, beloved him also that begotten of him. Whosoever believe that Jesus Christ is Lord is born of God. That is, he has the life of God. Hallelujah. So a believer is one who has received the life of God. He's a bona fide receiver of the life of God. And please hear me. Listen. A believer is more than a human being. Yes, sir. A believer is more than a humanoid species. Why? Because primarily he has access to the life of God, the Zoe life. The life of God is superior to the human life. Are we together? Is it somewhere in the book of Psalms chapter 85 verse, is it 6 and 7, that says they know not, neither do they understand. They will die like mere men. They will fall like one of the princes. Meaning, because they do not understand their identity, that because they have the life of God, they are in the God class, they will die like mere men. Meaning, a believer is more than a mere man. Are we together? A believer is more than an ordinary human being. So the day you gave your life to Christ, there is an operation, or there is an upgrade of the kind of life you have. And that is the life of God. The greatest advantage to being in Christ, to being a believer, is that you have access to the wisdom and the power of God. This is what separates you from mere men. And this is these are the criteria for victory in life and destiny. The wisdom of God and the power of God. So you look at your bank account and you are angry and say, what is this? What is this? You look at mere men, carnal men, men who do not have Jesus, and you envy them and say, God, what is my life like this? And the Bible is saying, they know not. You do not know that you have the life of God on the inside of you. Trap on you is eternity, is divinity. This life that I live is the life of God in me. Let me read that song.
This life
Kapaya taka bakala takato
is the life of God. This life
that I have is the life.
Let me encourage you, believer. The devil is a master of the mind realm. He will discourage you and make nonsense of your life because of the carnal things happening around you, and equate it that you are a failure. No, sir. You have the life of God on the inside of you. You are not a failure. No matter how bad your life is, it is not as Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Hiya, hiya. Anybody has talked down on you, don't respond to them. But deep inside you, you know that they are carnal men. You have 1 billion in your account. Demons can still make nonsense of you. If you like, have 360 degrees. one demon on IT can make nonsense of your life. See, you have the anointing of God upon your life. I'm not downplaying the place of education. I'm not downplaying the place of value, the place of personal development. Bester, you are a believer. You are more than any other. See, after God is you. He said, you have made them a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God. Let no politician look at you and bully you. That you go to secondary school here, Mabudi, nothing will come out of your life. Are you God? No, sir. So this is a believer, one who has heard the gospel, one who has believed in Jesus Christ, one who has confessed Jesus as Lord, and one who is a receiver of the life of God, the Zoe life. Let's continue. The apostolic believer. The word apostolic is a derivative from the word apostle. And the Greek word for the word apostle is apostolos. A-P-O-S-T-O-L-S. Apostolos. And it simply means one who is sent. So help me preach to your brother or sister, the person sitting next to you, that an apostle is simply one who is sent. Can you help me do that? An apostle is one who is sent. Thank you very much. So that is the meaning of an apostle. So when I'm talking about apostolic believer, I said it is the derivative of the word apostle, and it simply means one who is sent, a messenger. Hallelujah. A delegate, a representative, an ambassador with the authority of the sender. So an apostolic believer simply means a representative of the kingdom of God. Not a casual believer, not just a Sunday going believer. No, much more than that. An apostolic believer is a believer who is actively contributing to the advancement of God's kingdom. Please have it together. An apostolic believer is one who has a saint mentality. That you are walking and you know you are sent. One who is sent. Like Jesus speaking, he said, I must do the work of my Father who sent me. So Jesus, for his 3.5 years of adventure upon the earth, he was walking as a man who is sent. So when he is in Galilee, he knows he is sent. In Bethlehem, he is sent. So when he's going wherever, he knows he is a sent one. He is an apostle. He is a representative of the agenda of heaven. This is who you are, sir. An apostolic believer, that you must carry a sent mentality. You are on the campus and you know that you are not there to join the bandwagon of people, young people wasting their lives. You are on the campus on a mission. Beyond a degree, you are sent to establish the kingdom. At your workplace, wherever, whatever the geography of your assignment, an apostle has this mindset that I am sent. Jesus said, I will not waste time. Time is against me. I am sent. Believers, this must become your reality. Wherever you find yourself, you do not belong to this world. I'll come to help you understand what the word here means. But you have a mindset, I am sent, I am sent. Jesus must be glorified, I am sent. In this place that darkness has covered, I am sent to be a different. Please have it together. This is who you are, an apostolic believer. Not just coming, sitting down on a chair and going out. No, now. Much more than that, you are sent. You are an apostle to your generation. We are not talking about the fivefold ministry. But every believer is an apostle. We get to look at that shortly. That is it even here on my notes. Look at this, Jesus' mentorship model. Help me with Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3 verse 14. Matthew chapter 10 verse 2. Luke chapter 6 and verse 13. If you are in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. Let me know. Are you there? All right.
And he ordained 12.
And he ordained 12.
That they should be with him.
They should be with him.
And that he might send them forth to preach.
Thank you, sir. Somebody, Luke chapter 6, verse 13. So that scripture made us understand that he ordained 12 to be with him. The primary thing is to be with him first. The secondary thing is that he might send them. Luke 6:13. He called unto him his disciples. Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. I want to just give you a snapshot of Jesus' mentorship model. The name of the 12 apostles. Yes. I think that no need. Jump to the next verse. There is something you did. Yeah. No, sir. Let's just continue. Maybe you read that. Let me just, highlight. I have a lot to do. Number one, from where we read, the Bible made us understand. Look at this. I'm just trying to show us a model. Go. That number one, he first called them to be with him, disciples. Go. He chose 12 to be his disciples. In that place where my brother just read, in Matthew chapter 10, he is sending them not as disciples. He's sending them as apostles. So the model is first believers. And this is the dual identity of every believer. That number one, every believer is first a disciple. Who is a disciple? A student. One who follows. One who learns. One who is transformed by Jesus. Okay? So we see Jesus' mentoring model is that he first called them to disciple them, to sit upon them. Let there be a transformation. There is a curriculum where he teaches them to become. But there is an end to discipleship. You don't remain a disciple forever. Of course, you don't graduate from discipleship. What I mean is that you do not, there is an end to discipleship. Go. And the end point of that discipleship is verse chapter 10. The Bible says he sent them. As I've taught us here that the word apostle is sent, one who is sent. He said he sent them not as disciples but as apostles. That men whom he has taught them. He said, guys, it is now to carry this thing which I have taught you to the nations. The end point of discipleship is that you take it to the nations. Go and influence the nations. So this is the dual identity of every believer. Number one, you are a believer is a disciple, a student, a learner. One who is following is learning. One who is being transformed by Jesus. Number two, a disciple is an apostle. The very representative of Jesus. You are the one that you are representing the agenda of God upon the earth. Angels are not going to come and do that which God has assigned you to do. In that family, in that campus, wherever, God is praying that I have a representative there, and God is counting on you. You are an apostle. Invading the world system, number one, with the message of God. Number two, with the life of God. Number three, with the power of God. I wrote here that discipleship without apostolic mandate is like a student without practicing. You go and spend 6 years a medical student, you come back and you are not applying that, you are not practicing it. Somebody is dying at your doorpost and you are snoring. We are asked, you have knowledge but you cannot apply. And this is many of us. 10 years in the church, not one soul won. 50 years in the church, no impact for the kingdom. We brag about titles and positions, fighting in the church, but our very next door society is in darkness. Yet light cannot affect it. Do you see the picture of the Nigerian church? Many believers, little or no impact. Why? Because there are many disciples, which is good, but my advocacy tonight is that, guys, as we are learning of God, that same Bible said, go ye, you are an apostle to the nations.
Let me be fast.
Understanding the world systems. I just felt to make it, we said the apostolic believer invading the world system is good. We understand the word world in this context. The word world has three expressions in the Bible. Number one, the world as people. John chapter 3 verse 16. For your reference, John chapter 1 verse 10. The world, we said it has three expressions in scripture. Number one, the world as people. John chapter 3 verse 16. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. The world there is people, isn't it? In John chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible said he came to his own and his own did not recognize it. He's talking about people. So the world in scripture, one of the reference is people. Number two, the world as a creation, created entity. Somebody help me with Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 verse number 20. Psalms 24 verse 1.
Sir, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen.
He said from the creation of the world, the invisible things are clearly seen. How?
Being understood by the things that are made.
By the things that are made, by the things that are created.
Even his eternal power and Godhead.
So the apostle is helping us understand that the creation reveals the glory of God. Reveals the invisible nature or glory of God. Look at Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that are in. The earth is the Lord and it full. The world and all that are in therein. So everything that is created in the world, the Bible says, is of the Lord. So we see the world here in this context is creation, created entity, the mountains, the skies, whatever the firmaments. Please are we together? So the first reference of the word world is people. The second reference from scripture is what? Creation. The last one, which is our context of discourse. The world as a system. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15 and 17. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 and 17 from the King James, I will love it. Yes, sir. Verse 15 to 17.
Love not the world.
Love not the world.
Neither the things that are in the world.
Neither the things that are in the world.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
And he explained. Continue, sir.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
But is of the world.
And the world passeth away.
And the world passeth away.
The lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of
abideth forever. The first expression of the word, what we say is what? People. That the world as people, the world as creation. Number three, the world from that scripture as a system. Somebody help me from the NIV. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Quickly, did I have Good News Bible? Is there a Good News Bible in the house? Yeah. Who is having Good News? You will help me read Good News. Go. NIV, Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Guys, let's be fast. The time is not on our side. Please, let me hear you. Stand up and read it. In view of God, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of what? Of this world. Just of the. Do Do not conform any longer to the pattern, underline the word pattern, of the world. Good News Bible, if you are there, verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. Nobody? Verse 2, Romans chapter 12. All right. Sorry for that. Go and give that anyone. Yes, I did now. Do not conform yourself, sir, to the standard of this world. These are the two words that I'm searching for. NIV said a pattern. There is a pattern in this world. Good News said there are standards set up by whoever, I don't know. But I know the devil is the grand architect of this world. So the word world in this context from the scripture we read is a system. It's a pattern. It's a standard. A way of thinking, an ideology that is antichrist. It's not consistent with the teachings of scripture. Meaning there is a pattern of a belief. There is a pattern of the kingdom. And there is a pattern, a standard of the world. Please are we together? There is a pattern that a believer must uphold that is not consistent with that of the world. Are we together? So there is a way the world behaves. There is a way the patterns, the standard of this world, they do things. You go to look for a job somewhere and they will tell you that you must do this like this. This is our philosophy. This is our pattern, our standard. This is our ethics if you must work here. So the world has its standard that is designed by the Antichrist. That anyone operating on the basis of that standard, he do not have the love of God in him. So he said, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. We are discussing the apostolic believer invading the world system. Now you know better the world we are talking about. We are talking about the systems of the world. There is a system that tells you that we have watched in Nigerian movie. When coming up, we know that a lady in relationship, you not go to the fiance house, you not sleep there until married. But today, because movies have sold to us, that a lady, you are in a relationship, you can go and do 2 weeks sleeping with your boyfriend or whatever. Some time ago, a friend, his girlfriend came to him and she spent the night there in the house. And after I was asking, sir, Kai, I don't understand. How did she sleep there? And she slept on the bed, he slept on the couch. I said, so we are not there before. So you know, he cannot convince me. No, you sleep on the couch and she sleep on the bed. I'm not there, so I don't know. But I have a conclusion that... So who believe you that for that 2 weeks sleeping there, the young man is sleeping in the BQ. It's you that is sleeping in the master's room. That's a joke, sir. This is what our campuses have embedded. These are the systems of the world. A girl who is staying in her father's house, go to a campus, and she pack her belongings, sleeping in one rubbish boy. At the vex, go and stay in one boy that mommy is sending for you pocket money. Some sisters say they are not serious. I trust God that they are not here. Hallelujah. And some brothers also, they are not serious. You are laughing. Hallelujah. What are we trying to establish? That there is a system governing the world. You want to marry. By what system are you doing what you are doing? You are in business. You know, there are people in business, they believe you must prosper by teaching people. That is the system of the world. In academics, you must do malpractice. Guys, that is not kingdom. That is a Babylonian system. The word is coming hot this evening, but this is the hard part. Flocking Babylon out of us. That there is a system called the system of the world that you and I, we are not called to operate. We are apostles, representatives of the kingdom of heaven, and we cannot operate the same system that the world is operating. So number one, God has called us out from that system, and he has called us into kingdom purpose, and now he's sending us as apostles to invade that same system for the glory and honor of Jesus. I wrote here that there are institutions that mold these values. They are called mind control systems. Like you all know, they are called the seven mountains of influence. I believe you have all heard that call. Can we say it together? Can we list the seven mountains of influence? Number one is what? Media. Number two, my brother is taking here, art and entertainment. Number three, guys, we are not. No, that's what I'm teaching today. You want me to go? Well, time is. I'm trying to see where we stop here. So there are seven. My brother is saying, number one, sphere of influence. They are called mind control system. Number one, why they are called mind control system is because they can reorientate your mindset. If you sick and go to the hospital, they treat you, come back and you are fine. But this seven sphere of influence, they can do something to your mindset. They can create an ideology, shape the way you think and grow. Number one is the media. Today, the media defines to people right and wrong. Some people believe social media more than scripture. You just say, you see a post that titan is Old Testament and you believe it. That is the media. Media number two is family. Every one of us is from the family. An arrower comes from a family. A terrorist comes from a family. A good person comes from a family. So a family can shape destiny and what a society can become. Number three, art and entertainment. Art and entertainment model to us what success is. Today, many of us, what we know is not from our parents, from where we learn, it's from the social media, or it's from the art and entertainment, the entertainment industry. Like many people, Ronaldo today, if he changes his hairstyle and pop something, 2-3 minutes, or 2-3 days, you will see somebody in this town with that same hairstyle. You understand? By reason of art and entertainment, he has influenced such people. I remember when coming back, when we watch a movie like this, you said, I'm this person. And you begin to walk like that person. Guy, I don't talk about you. You go and watch one wrestling and say you are John Cena. You go and they will beat you somewhere. You don't have the strength of John Cena. What is happening? Art and entertainment modeling us, giving you a kind of mindset. Isn't it? We have government and politics today. If the government said no church in Nigeria, whether you like it or not, you do protest, they will come and beat you. That is how powerful it is. It can model a generation, can model a people. We have economy or business. That is what is called economy power. Today you can be a tongue-talking believer. You are dying, you don't have money. An unbeliever will come and tell you that this is 100 million naira. Do this and I will give you this. You will say, God, I love you, but right now I'm dying. Was it apostle who was saying that somebody they were saying jokingly? He said, is it 1 billion naira or the presence of God? And the person said, I'm not worthy to carry the presence of God. Just give me 1 billion. Look at that carnality. I'm not worthy to carry the presence of God. Just give me 1 billion naira and let me be going. That is the power of money. If you don't have money, you can compromise as a believer. So who has money? Is that not why we run after politicians? Because after even they have abused us, we know that they will settle us. So a believer will go and lie and fight for a politician because afterward they are giving him something. Hallelujah. Religion. How many have I mentioned? Six. Which one is the last one now? Economy and business, I've said that, right? Religion, media, education, very important. You go and speak, you go and spend 4 years teaching you Ababio. Who is Ababio? Teaching you curriculum. They are teaching you a lie. I remember my first philosophy class, Dr. Henry was saying some nonsense thing. I was angry. I said, this guy now, wow. What was he saying? Say, where Jesus was defending Martha,
said, God, the woman that came and washed him. I said, who were you there? The sister of Lazarus, that Jesus was his boyfriend, and she's Jesus' girlfriend. I said, see, look at this man. He will tell you with sweet mouth, convince you with some. Now that is philosophy. I'm talking about education. You go and give your brain to a curriculum for 4 years. They will teach you whatever they will teach you. After 4 years, you will leave after those ideologies. Like lawyers, they will come and defend something that they are being taught. So these are mind control systems. Oh my God. I don't want to carry over this sermon to next Monday, you know. But our time is fast spent. Come on. All right. Let's see how we do next one. So I wrote something here. That until there is an emergence of apostolic believers, these mountains become tools of darkness, shaping societies away from God. Until there is an emergence of apostolic believers, these seven mountains of influence will remain tools of darkness, shaping a generation, societies away from God. In Judges, is it Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible said, a generation arose that do not know God. You think it just happened? No. These are the systems that facilitated them being distant from God. So if believers does not arise with apostolic mandate, I guarantee you that a generation will come that do not know God. That you call the name of Jesus and they will look at you as if you call the name of one terrorist. You mention Jesus somewhere and they will laugh at you. They will kick you out of it. And it is not going to be some people distant somewhere. So-called Christians. It's not the same Christian. Go out for evangelism and they begin to tell you, see Mary, see Jesus, see Mary, see Jesus. And it looks as if you are doing wrong. Please, we will stop here. Who is blessed tonight? Please make it a date as we continue next month. The real thing I've not touched, and that is the apostolic mandate. If I stop, Kai, sincerely, we have not even done justice to it. If we only stop here, we have not done justice to this study, to this series. Come next month. Let's trust God that you will understand the mandate of an apostolic believer. Stand to your feet, let's pray. I'm constrained by time. I don't know what has fired into your spirit. But one thing I know is that you are an apostolic believer. Shiparataka palada. Can you just communicate to God? I don't know what you have learned. Please, can you just begin to communicate it to God? Can you begin to respond to God? There's an army rising up. It's a prayer woman. There's an army rising up. There's an army. If you are that army, can you begin to pray? If you are that apostolic believer, can you begin to pray? Respond to God in a place of prayer. There is an army rising. An emergence of apostolic believers. You are breaking forth. Shekete preteke teke tote. Mashe preteka bagalada kataka bagalada kadu teke tete. Shekete preteke teke toparada kabagalada. Mashe te preteke teke tote. John chapter 20 and verse 21. I want to extract a prayer point here even as we close tonight. John chapter 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. As my Father hath sent me, Jesus speaking, so I send you. I want you to pray, carrying this mindset of a sent one. Pray that I am a sent one. I am an apostle. It's not a title. It is a designation, your call, your identity as a believer. Please pray. Lord, I walk in this consciousness as a sent one. Are you praying, believer? I walk in the consciousness of a sent one. I am sent to my generation. I am sent to my world. I am sent to my family. Pray outward. I am a sent one. I am not a lukewarm Christian. I am not a lukewarm believer. I am not just a Sunday believer. I am a sent one. I am sent to my generation. I carry the mindset of a sent one. In that campus, in my workplace, in the marketplace, cutting across the servant space of influence, I am a sent one. As my Father has sent me, so sent I you. T.B. Jangfa is sent by God. There was a man sent by God. His name is you. You are sent by God. Of the world. The word world there are the standards of the world, the pattern of the world. Can you pray, believer? Lord, disengage me from the patterns of this world. Is somebody praying? Lord, disengage me from the systems of the world. Throw Babylon out of my life. I say no to the world system in the name of Jesus. Ka ba ga la ga to de ge to de ke ba ta ba ga. Opportunity to two people, to two sets of people. If you are here, you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, please just step forward. If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, step forward very quickly. I have told you here that a believer is one who has confessed Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. This is the opportunity. You are here in this meeting. Let it not pass you by. Please come forward, my brother. Come forward, my sister. To accept Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, this is the opportunity. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Once upon a time, you were on fire. But you know that that fire is zero. Can you come forward? Let's pray together. We just have a few minutes. Don't argue this. Come forward. You don't know whether or not you are born again. Come forward. You used to be on fire for God. Now you are below zero. Come forward. Let's pray together.
So many, many people they don't know that I've made my choice to follow Jesus, to follow the light.
We are still waiting for that one person. Jesus needs you. Marede kala makata parada kabana. Shike te prede kele te kele te. Aya kabala da kada da kada da kada da kada da.
Ina Yesu ne kaza koma aya.
I then led to pray. If you are sick, just lay your hands on where he's sending you. If you can't, or you are standing in for anybody, the presence of God is in this place, and he has mandated us that whenever we preach the gospel, he said, heal the sick. You are sick in this place, I declare and decree that sickness leaves you now in the name of Jesus. From the sole, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you are whole in the name of Jesus. That foul spirit of infirmity,
I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Out in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cover you from head to toe. In the mighty name of Jesus. That pain leaves you now in the name of Jesus. Somebody, you are feeling pain on your left leg. That pain leaves you now in the mighty name of Jesus. That pain leaves you now in the name of Jesus. Whatever sickness that has a name, the name of Jesus is above it, and we command it to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Spirit of God. In 60 seconds, please, I want you to pray, touching our school outreach next month. Please, can you just speak a word of prayer and say, Lord, may you go ahead of us as we go to these schools. With the presence and power of God, can you insist that, Lord, may you go ahead of us, that the teenagers will encounter Jesus. The teenagers will see Jesus. They will be transformed. They will encounter the person of Jesus. We call for the resources, the men, everything needed for this to be a success. We call it forth, and we declare and decree that it shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Lastly, can I speak over your life? Because you came tonight, I declare and decree that you are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. This week begins, may the face of God, may the countenance of God shine upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. May the presence of God go ahead of you. May favor follow you in the name of Jesus. This new week beginning and the new month that we are entering tomorrow, you will not record losses in the name of Jesus. You have no appointment with the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. Over your life and family, over this commission, I cast the spirit of death far away from us in the mighty name of Jesus. There shall be no loss of life, no loss of property over your life and family in the name of Jesus. The works of your hands are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. You will walk in perfect health in the mighty name of Jesus. I call for the resources into your hands. That resources will come into your hands in the name of Jesus. Your spiritual life will not go down. From glory to glory, your prayer life will go forward in Jesus' name. Your word life turn back to life in the name of Jesus. You will enjoy intimacy like never before in the mighty name of Jesus. You are trusting God for finance, for provision, for life partner, for a job, for admission. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Favor accompanying you. Thank you, Spirit of God. In Jesus' matchless breath. And we said, surely God's goodness and mercies are following us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming. Can we celebrate Jesus?
I have come for the quality. Yeah.
Oh, Thank you.